pray as we just quiet ourselves and come boldly to your throne, but sit at your feet and listen to what we'll have for us today. God, I pray that when we leave, we just continue to have the heart of worship and praise to you this Christmas season. God, we just thank you and we praise you in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we get into our study this morning, we're, of course, taking the time for the holiday, and we're going to ask a question. Who is this child that everybody celebrates? You and I, coming here this morning, we would think that is a very common question and a very common answer to those who have come to church and are part of church. But I want you to think for a minute the world we're living in. I want you to think of the chaos that's going on all over our world. Think of the people who don't agree with what we would say the answer to this question is. To those who don't believe that Christ the child was really truly the Messiah. And we are coming in a world, and I think the world is coming against us more and more every day, to have a realization of who this child is and who this Christ child is. And so I thought this morning it'd be great for us to go back and see how he was understood. See how the world looked at him and how he was prophesied. But in order to do that, we need to go back, and I always try to go into the mindset, try to get back into the culture. And there's one thing I'm convinced. We are not aware of how much our culture and our world has influenced us. I don't think we're aware of that. I mean, it's such a slow fade. It's such a slow thing in our lives where, you know, we come to the Word of God and we understand it a certain way, and yet somehow our world today in religion has compromised so much, has forgotten about the idea of staying true to the Word of God and the world in which we live. So we need to sort of get out of our own little comfort zones, our own little circles of friends and people, and look at our world for a moment today. Because in there, and I think we are a product to a certain point of the world in which we live in. We have, I think, in our own minds and hearts. Because we are to love others greater than we love ourselves. How does that look in our world today? We are to serve others more than we serve ourselves. How does that work? We are to give to others. We are to give to God. And what does that look like in our world today? And we don't sometimes maybe have to go very far outside of our own deal, but even in our world, I have never seen so much hatred in our world as I see it now. I was not alive during the World Wars, but even then, even through the hatred, you knew the battle, you knew the war, you knew who was who and what was what. Today, you have no idea where the battle is. You have no idea where the war may upbring. You have no idea who. And the philosophy and the heart behind, it's totally different than what our world used to be. Listen, we didn't get here overnight. We didn't get here by all of a sudden the wrong man in sitting in the White House. We didn't get here by the wrong people making... Listen, we got here because of the slow fade of man's heart. And we're all part of that. I'm as guilty as everybody else here today. So I want to go back and say, okay, how do we sort of put the brakes on that a little bit? How do we, you know, look at that in our heart and life and say, well, you know, hey, no, that's not me. I'm not any part of that. Well, then you have to look at the concept of what part of your life don't you have a handle on? Because we're all here, and everybody in our world today, anybody here have an issue? I didn't ask you what it was, so you can raise your hand, you know, you can incriminate yourself. We all have issues, don't we? We all have struggles. We all have people we may not agree with, or we've got struggles in our life, or we got attitudes. Listen, we are not perfect. Some may be closer than others, but we're not perfect. We all have those issues. We all have those tendencies. So how was Paul able to do a complete 180 on the road to Damascus? Did Paul have issues after he was saved? I believe so. Paul struggled. Paul had heartaches. Paul questioned. Paul was in despair, but he didn't give up. Paul was really in trouble at many times, but he prayed out to God and he got the strength. So what I want to look at this morning and this Christmas, listen, this is the season of hope. If you've lost somebody maybe this last year, and you're struggling through this Christmas season, maybe 2-3 years, however long, years don't matter when it comes to that. But when you're struggling with that, this is the season that brings the hope. Because we have a Savior who came, loved us enough that he came as a babe to die as a Savior. And so we find hope today. No matter what we're going through, no matter what the world's in, we find hope today. So we're going to bring that to you. Okay, we're going to try to understand it a little bit, but I want to give you two mindsets. First of all, as we study this and begin this morning, we're going to end up in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Very familiar Christmas cards verses. You may have got several of them this year, but we're going to look at two perspectives before we get into the scriptures. If you have your Bibles, you can be turning there to Isaiah 9. We're going to get there. But the two perspectives, and I want you to think about this for a minute. The first perspective is a Jewish viewpoint. Looking at the scriptures, the Bible is approached believing that Jesus is not the Messiah from the Jews. Now, we're talking about the Jews in Christ's day, and also I believe some of the Jews today. He's not looked at as the Messiah. Jews entered the study of the Hebrew Bible looking forward, and as they're looking forward, and so they see prophecy as one who is yet to come. There are many Jews then and even today who do not believe that Jesus Christ was his Messiah. He did not come as the Savior of the world that you and I know him as. They look at the Hebrew Bible looking forward, the prophecy they're studying in the Old Testament. That's the Hebrew Old Testament. As they're looking forward to something that yet hasn't happened. But yet you and I, what's our perspective? What's the Christian viewpoint? The Bible's approach believing Jesus is Messiah. And that's, to me, a very important point. Because when you approach it that way, Christians enter the study of the Hebrew Bible already having a familiarity with the life and death of Jesus. Looking back in the scriptures, we see the prophecy which validate Jesus as the Messiah who in time will return. So we're living in a world where both of these perspectives are in play. Both of these ideas are understood. And I mean, have you seen it on the news? They canceled Christmas in Bethlehem this year because of all the turmoil that is going on. And so, how do you cancel Christmas? Watch some of the news, some of the videos, some of the protesters are out there saying, we're going to cancel your Christmas. You're going to have to take my heart out. You can't cancel Christmas. You may cancel man's idea of Christmas, but you're not going to cancel the meaning of Christmas. You see, there's different perspectives in our world. And yet, I say this carefully, but we come today already having preconceived ideas that Christ is Messiah, which is a good idea. It's a good thing to have. But so we're looking back at Isaiah chapter 9. We're looking back and saying, see, here's proof that he came. They're looking at it as, see, here's proof he hasn't come yet. Because it's prophecy. And we're going to study a little bit and we're going to pull this all together. We're going to do a couple passages in the New Testament to see how that reflected in the Jewish life in Christ's time. While he walked on the earth, what did that do? How did that look? And so these two perspectives and viewpoints are very important. In fact, this is why the slow fade, I believe, has happened. Too many times we go to the Bible and study it with our preconceived understanding. And if that doesn't start out right, you're not going to end up right. So I tell a lot of people in the morning, I'll see them first thing in the morning, you know, start the morning at 6 o'clock and going around and seeing everybody and saying, hey, how's your morning started? Oh, it's starting off good. Well, that's good because now you got a 50-50 chance it's going to end good. If the day don't start good, you're done. There's no chance at all it's going to end good. So when we look at the perspective that we enter Scripture in, We need to be very careful. Yes, we have an understanding. Yes, to make sure and validate that it is true. But when you study Scripture, you need Scripture to prove Scripture. So the difference being in these two perspectives, one believes in a Savior that has come, and one believes in a King that is yet to come. Because most of the prophecy that they study in the Old Testament is leaning towards that day when Christ will come as a King. He will rule and He will reign, and we're going to study that. But that's the millennial reign. That's when He comes down and rules and reigns in the millennial reign, 1,000-year reign, when Israel, 144,000, walk into it. And they're right. But they missed the most important part of history, the Savior that came that will give them eternity forever. And that's the joy of Christmas. That's the reason we celebrate. And so with those two perspectives, let's get into Isaiah. We're going to study this. There's five truths about the coming Messiah. When we look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, I'm going to read them, and then we're going to go back and tear them apart. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and the name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with the judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." As we see that, we're gonna look at these statements. There's five truths that we're going to get through, and then we're going to pull it together in the end. But the first one, as we see, is that for unto us a child is born. What that means and what Isaiah was saying is that us is a born into the nation of Israel. That whoever this person was or king that they're talking about, this child had to be born into and from the nation of Israel. And we know this. And listen, we know the story. We know Luke chapter 2, and we know all about the lineage of Christ that came from the lineage of David. We know that not only did Joseph come from the lineage of David because he had to go to Bethlehem to report the tax, but Mary was from the lineage of David. Because if Mary was not from the lineage of David, then the virgin birth would make no sense. Mary had to be from the lineage of David because Joseph had nothing to do with the birth of Christ. So, both of them were from the lineage of David. And as we see this scripture, it was born unto them. It was born a child that one day would grow up and be their king and their leader. The second thing we see in this verse is the government shall be upon his shoulders. He will rule over God's people. Micah 5:2 tells us very clearly that that is going to happen. And Micah 5:2 simply says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and from everlasting." You see, all the Old Testament, they're looking at it, prophesying as one that is going to come. He's going to come and be their ruler. He's going to come and be their leader. And he did come. But we're going to see as we go through, they missed the reason for him coming. They missed the reason as his rule was there. So the government will be upon his shoulders. He is going to be the only ruler. He is going to be the reigner. He is going to be the only one to answer to during this rule and this reign. The third thing we find is he will have four descriptive names. We're going to look at these names a little bit. They're interesting. And these four descriptive names, first of all, Wonderful, to be separate and distinguished. One of the definitions or one of the adjectives giving to his name, the descriptive name, is he is going to be wonderful. He is going to be like none other. He is going to be distinguished. He is going to be separate from anyone else you've ever had rule over you. Which I can't wait for, by the way. Somebody who knows how to do it and do it right. Wonderful. Also, we find counselor. A counselor is to advise. A counselor is to give counsel, to direct. And the people will gladly listen to him. Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one. And, you know, sort of goes with my profession to counsel people, and that's fine. I enjoy doing that. And, you know, and maybe you've counseled some individuals. Maybe you've given some of your great biblical wisdom to individuals. And when they come and they ask you your wisdom, your counsel, and you give them the biblical counsel the best that you can, and they look at you and they turn around and do just the opposite. And about a month later, they come back and say, could you counsel? No, I can't. You didn't listen to me the first time. Why is it going to change? That's usually parents and kids' relationship, but that happens in a counseling session too. In fact, it was neat. We were down for a birthday party, and they had this little two people, two little plastic robots in these controls, and they boxed each other, and they popped their heads off, okay? And I'm watching these guys do this, and they're going at it, and these one older and one younger, and they're going at it. I said, man, I need to buy one of those for marriage counseling. I think it would really work in a session to let them just box each other's head off with this game, and maybe they'll leave a smile in and different than when they came. But you know, when you counsel people, when he, Christ, when God comes and rules and reigns, he's going to give advice, he's going to counsel, he's going to direct us, and we will gladly listen. You know how different that is than it is today? How different that's going to be? Because of everything from now until then that we go through, from everything from now and then, from the rapture, from the Bema Seat judgment, from all the things that are going to be going on earth, until we get to the millennial reign when he's reigning and we gladly listen, it's going to hurt. There's some things that we are going to go through. But we are going to have his counsel. And it's not just going to be the written word of God. It's going to be God giving the word. And that's awesome. The mighty God. His power in his presence. There's something about presence, isn't there? When you walk into a room and, you know, you can sort of feel the tension or feel something going on, and, you know, everybody just, whoosh, usually it means they're talking about you. No, I'm just kidding. But when you walk into a room and everything's different, you know, I get that sometimes, you know. I walk in a room and get this. A lot of people think I'm a doctor. It's kind of nice. I'll walk in, you know, and oh, man, I'm having all these aches and pains, and they'll go on and on and on and on. Like, hi, my name's Kevin. I'm a chaplain. Oh. Like, oh, you're one of them. Oh, it's kind of different, but it's nice. You know, for a while you get that. But, you know, the presence, just knowing God is there, is going to be a powerful thing. Man, when God comes and rules and reigns, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. So when we see this, some of these names, again, as we see these descriptive names, two more to go through. One is Everlasting Father, Never-Ending Abba. In Romans 8:15, it states that we are of the adoption. Abba is Arabic for daddy. He will always be our father, ruling and reigning over us. And I'm going to tell you what, dads, guys, we're going to see how wrong we've done it when he does it for us. We're going to see how well God is our dad or our father. Listen, we put our best efforts in and we try our best and we do our best. But when God steps up and becomes your dad, you're going to understand what it means to be a godly dad. We try our best, and hats off to all the guys here that do their best. But even at that, we come short. God's going to be our everlasting dad. Man, is that awesome or what? I love my dad to death, and my dad has done well for me. He's my hero. He was my number one cheerleader through all of my basketball career and all my basketball games. He was there cheering me on. He was there telling the refs how bad their calling was. He was the one getting kicked out of the game when my youth group showed up. Yeah, he was that guy. But anyway, he was there for me all the time. But I can't imagine what God's going to be like. Can't imagine how God's going to love me and father me as he rules. You see, that's the child. That's who this child is. It's going to be a father like we've never understood. Second or last thing, the Prince of Peace. And this is an interesting one because when you look at the Prince of Peace, again, interesting only because when we see it, we're going to finally understand what peace is, because he's the ruler who will bring in and maintain the peace that our world is crying for right now. He is going to be the one that is going to say, this is it, enough, done. And boy, when he comes back, the mighty warrior and king, it's going to be finished, and he is going to rule and reign. And all of this is so great. All of this is true. And man, we're going to be a part of that. Those who know Christ, man, we're going to come down, finally get to ride the horse. They're going to come down, and you're going to just rule and reign with him. But we have individuals today that don't think the Messiah's come yet. This is not talking about the Messiah. This is what they understand this child to be. They're waiting for him to come. And many are still waiting for him to come today. And so the Prince of Peace had come. He's the ruler. He's going to make the peace. He's going to maintain the peace. And then we will understand what it means for you and I to live in harmony. For you and I and for the world to live in harmony. Man, we can only pray for that now. We can only want that now. And yet it will not be accomplished until he comes down. Because when you see the next of the five things sits on David's throne. And we see that in verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it. He's going to maintain it all. And he is the one who is going to make it right. So when we see this seed of David, we find him, he will rule with peace and justice. You know, we see that verse now maybe given to those who were struggling with something. Romans 8:28, God is working all things for good to those who are called according to his purpose. God is working. The working is hard, isn't it? But we know the end of that. We know the hope in that. We know that God is working whatever he's working in our life for the good. God never allows anything into our life that doesn't work good in us if we allow God to work. When we doubt him, when we question him, when we argue with him, we don't agree, we end up losing the good for the moment in what God is trying to accomplish. And that doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean just walk through it like nothing's happening. It just means that we grieve as others don't. That we get knocked down and we get back up. That we still go on ministering for Christ in the midst of. That no matter what our past was, the greatest thing about God, and I share this often, God doesn't care where you've been. He cares where you are and where you're going. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you've been. It doesn't matter. Where are you now today and where are you going? You see, that's what God's importance. That's what he's interested in. He will rule with his peace and justice. He'll bring everything together because he's God. Man, that's going to be a good day. That's going to be an awesome day to be a part of all of that. The second thing we find in this is the realization that he will rule. His rule has no end. In fact, in Luke, we find in chapter 1, verse 33, we find this written. And it says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. We cannot even begin to define forever. We have no, how do you define forever? Well, it just keeps going. Okay, well, that's not really a definition. That's a description. How do you define forever? Our feeble minds can't even put words to it. That's how great his rule is going to be. That's how great he will rule basically with no end. Man, that's a day we're looking forward to, isn't it? That's a day that if you and I had the ability to put this into an understanding. And the greatest part of this, as we get to the next one, we realize that all will be completed by the zeal of the Lord. Listen, it's not the evil in our world. It's not what's going on around it. It's not what man says, well, watch for this. If you watch for this, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Listen, it's all going to happen when God says it's going to happen. Have you ever known God to be wrong? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And that's one of the greatest hopes you and I have. No matter how it's redefined, no matter how it is re-understood, no matter how we see our world living, No matter how we see Christians going wrong directions and churches going wrong directions and things happening in our world and the slow fade of going away from the truth of God, no matter what we see, the truth is God's going to make it happen. And that's encouragement to me. And that ought to be a hope to you and I. Man, we're getting ready to gear up to go in another year. How many of you have plans already made for half of next year? I mean, your agenda book's full, your calendars are full, the things you got going on, and all those things. And you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. You and I should never have an agenda calendar written in pen. Never, never. It doesn't work that way. God will put anything he wants in our path to do whatever he wants to do, because why? He's working us for the better. And you know, we may not ever have that better on earth. That verse doesn't say that God is working all things to the good on earth. God is working all the good things we may not experience until we get to heaven. Listen, you ain't going to get any better than that. That's the good that God is working us for, that God is using us, and God is allowing us to be used in our life through the good days, the bad days, the ups, the downs. No matter where we may be, God is saying, listen, no matter where I place you, I can use you as long as you let me. And that sounds very like, whoa, I can tell God no. Yes, you can. You probably don't want to, but you can. Because God says, I don't want you to be a puppet for me. I want you to be my child. And you can put that child into two categories because you've seen them. Maybe you've raised them. I don't know. You've seen two individual children. One child, you have to force them to just get up in the morning. I had one of those. Tall glass of ice cold water does wonders. Ashley hated me in the morning. I'd go in singing. Next time you see one of my ask them, they still, the nightmares come when I start singing the same song. Anyway, glass of water works well. Others, you just speak it and it's there. Speaking and it's there. You see, God is looking at you and I as children, and some things we got to go through because, listen, we're just not listening. We're not getting it yet. Sometimes God just moves us, stirs us. We get it. We move. We go on. And we understand this fatherly figure that is doing things for us, allowing us to experience things, protecting us from things, guiding us in things, moving us through things for the good. That's our Heavenly Father. That's the God that Isaiah is prophesying. And we understand that, and we understand all of that's going to happen for the Lord. So, as a Jew now, living in Christ's day, we need to realize, what did they see? What was going on in their life? What happened? How did the Jew leaders respond? Go to Matthew chapter 12. The Jewish leaders, they rejected him. We're going to finish our study this morning in the book of Matthew. So if you go to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to hit another text in Matthew. Matthew 12, we find here Christ again in his earthly ministry. And he is, by this point, doing great things. He's doing wonders and miracles. And we find in chapter 12, verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, now what did they hear? Go back up to verse 22. Then was brought unto them one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Remember the lineage? He had to be from the son of the lineage of David. Verse 24 says, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They looked at this babe that we are looking at today, this child. Who is this child? He was God, Christ sent, and he's sent for us to have a Savior. As he grew up and started doing ministry, the Jewish leaders, because they were looking back, no, they were looked forward. They were still in the Old Testament. They were still looking forward to the day that this Messiah would come. And listen, they said many times in the Gospels, he's not going to come from Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. He couldn't even have a ministry in his hometown because nobody thought he was anything. You see, man begins to think too much. Man begins to put their own opinion in it too much. And they missed the child that came to be their Savior. They missed the Messiah. All of this being prophesied in the Old Testament. There were still, even in Jewish day, even when Christ walked the earth, they were still in the Old Testament looking forward to a time that this was going to happen. And they wanted it so bad to come on earth. They wanted so bad for the child to come, for him to come as a counselor, for him to come as a governor, for him to come as a ruler, for him to come and bring peace in the land. They were hooting and hollering. In fact, you go to the first or the week before he died. He entered into Jerusalem. How? Man, they were having a party. They were putting the palm branches down. They were hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They were all on board with it. And then they realized he wasn't going to save them like they thought. They realized he wasn't going to be the king that they thought. Because in order for the king to come, there first had to be a Savior die. And they missed it. How important it was. They rejected them. And when they rejected him, and all this you go through and starting in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, from there on you have all the parables. From there on, Christ himself said, I am going to teach in parables so they don't get it. The most unpardonable sin, the only sin. And you read through this text, you read down through verse 32 and all the way through. It says in verse 32 of the same chapter, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. But whosoever speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. You reject Christ, you're done. You're done. No prayer is going to make you any better. He ain't going to pay no money for you to get out of anywhere. You reject Christ, you're done. Man, then you look at our world. How many people today have rejected Christ? How can they be saved? How can they have Christ and then portray the evil that is in our world? We need to realize if Christ was standing here today preaching the same message, he would say the same thing. You rejected me. You rejected me. You celebrate me as a babe. You celebrate me in the Christmas. You celebrate me, but you rejected me. And all along, they're going back and saying, but we're waiting for you to come. Here I am. But you rejected me. And how important we need to realize. Because how did Christ respond to all this? How did Christ respond? We need to go to Matthew chapter 15. Because this is the message I do believe Christ would preach today for the slow fade of our churches and our Christians and our people who claim to know Christ. Matthew 15, verse 7 through 9. Ye hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy. Oh, wait, we just studied that, didn't we? Didn't we just study Isaiah 9? Isaiah prophesied. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines and the commands of men. That's how Christ responded to them rejecting him. Listen, I fear the same message will be given today. Yeah, we celebrate Christ. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth. But then after we celebrate, we're out buying in the stores. We're buying the gifts for all the people around us, all the people we love, going into debt to do so. We're buying all these things, doing all these things. We're celebrating this joyful festive day, and we're having. And then you're eating too much anyway. You're eating things you shouldn't eat. I mean, if you really think about it, you're doing everything wrong on this holiday. You're spending too much, you're buying too much, you're eating too much, and you're eating all the wrong things. Praise God for the child that was born. I think if you look over Christendom today, the slow fade, Christ would say the same thing. You worship me with your mouth, but your heart's not in it. Your heart is gone. Ye hypocrites. I mean, I didn't say that. Christ said it. He said it to them. He said it to the Jews that were still waiting for this king, waiting for the Isaiah prophecy to come true, waiting for him, and they missed it. And how many people today are sitting back in the churches or in homes, and they're waiting, they're saying, listen, there's got to be something better than this. And then they get involved in the things of the world. They get involved in, and they miss it. They miss Christ. But boy, they're all about celebrating Christmas. All about getting that gift. All about having to get something. I have never seen so many more frustrated people than I did at Walmart the other day. We were down in Pittsburgh. Costco's. They had police directing traffic because the people were just nuts. But it's a joyful holiday. Let's celebrate it together. It's like, man, something's wrong with this picture. But we need to understand this is what's wrong. We have the mouth worship. We don't have the heart. My doctrines, you're teaching in vain. You're worshiping in vain. You're doing things, but you're doing to the commandments of men, not the truth of who I am. How important that is for our lives today. Our takeaway this morning is we pull Isaiah and pull Matthew together. First of all, are we looking forward as if the Messiah has not come? Or are we looking back, accepting him, and waiting for our eternal Father to come? Where are you today? How is this? Are you looking forward because you've accepted Christ? Looking forward to that day when he is going to rule and reign, eternal Father rule, and he's going to do it right. That's the important thing we need to understand this morning. Second thing we find, this child came as a babe. He left this earth as a savior. Will return as a king. Are you ready to meet the king? Are you ready to meet your king? Listen, I've done a lot of things wrong in my life. I've said a lot of things. And the older I get, that pathway from my mind to my mouth, there's some kind of malfunction in there. And, you know, a lot of things I'm thinking, it's just not working, okay? I'm not the only one. You're looking at me like, oh, man, I am not the only one here. Come on now. You guys are throwing me all out, throwing me under the bus. But when we see life, I am so looking forward because beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I would drop dead right now, I'd be in the presence of my God. That is my hope. That is why I get up every day. Doesn't matter how much you hurt. Doesn't matter how old you get. Doesn't matter. That's why you get up. Because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he is your Lord and Savior. Are you ready to meet your King? And it's boiled down to very, very easily. One simple verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. That's the whole redemptive story. The wages of our sin is death. That death is separation. The same separation that Adam and Eve felt when they were in the garden walking with him. Can you imagine getting up in the morning to a perfect world, walking side by side with God? And then all of a sudden you lost it all. That's the death separation. That's the separation that death brings. That's what he's talking about. But that is because of sin. But the gift that God gave us is eternal life through Jesus Christ as Lord. If you don't go through the blood of Christ, you do not have the gift. The signature on who sent that gift to you just simply needs to be a drop of blood. Christ's blood. That's what does it. And man, we need to remember that. We need to put forth that gift. We need to remember that that is the gift that keeps on giving every day of your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study this morning. We pray as we continue to understand it to the best of our ability. We realize that we get caught up in all the stuff, and it's not wrong. But Father, we got to be careful, because I truly believe that we get caught up in that slow fade. We lose our priorities. We lose the reason why this day even exists. And God, I pray that anyone here today, or even anyone that may have been online watching, God, that they realize that this is the gift that they need. No other gift that you will get on earth will have any kind of meaning like this gift. Father, I pray that we do not go through another year without knowing for sure that if today would be our last day, that we would stand in your presence for eternity. God, that is an assurance that takes all the weight of the world off of our shoulders, because you carried them on your Son. And God, I pray that that is the message that goes forth this Christmas. God, we thank you and we praise you in your son's name. Amen.